are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, November the 10th, and three ways that things could go awry for Troy Weaver on draft night. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like y'all guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. We hear those numbers creeping up as the draft approaches. All the new listeners out there, we've been doing this during the entire pandemic. Believe it or not, your boy Matt dissenting into madness during these past several months. Hundreds, literally hundreds of episodes since the Pistons have last played basketball. Unbelievable run for your boy here. But once again, thanks to brother Brian pitching in. Tuesday is one of my favorite shows of the week. Probably my favorite show of the week because Brian does most of the heavy lifting and I just read from the old sheet here. I don't know what you call it. Prep sheet. My old prep sheet. Yeah, if you know the show, you know I played tennis on Monday and I'm a little lightheaded. So here's where we're at. I get a little goofy sometimes, but I got the three ways that Troy Weaver could screw up draft night. So I got my take. I've also got Dave DeBuscher, almost legend. That's right. We're going back to the old school to a real legend, turning the table a little bit on the Almost Legend series for brother Brian. And then one of the draft recap profiles that you've been waiting for is LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball, Dave DeBuscher, and Matt's take on Troy Weaver walk into a bar, rabbi, priest, and whatever is also. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. A week from today is the NBA draft, believe it or not. That'd be November 18th, and it sounds like from Woj's late reporting, late Monday, early Tuesday morning, that's right, staying up late for you today, that free agency trades, all that stuff should open a day or two or three after that. So we're coming fast, and we're coming furious, and the draft profiles continue. Brian's doing the top 18 on the Locked On Pistons big board, and number two is coming up today, LaMelo Ball, followed by Anthony Edwards tomorrow. But and he'll have his 1.0 big board for you on Fridays with Brian. I may have my 5.0, or maybe I'll save that for Monday. We'll see there. But exciting times for the Detroit Pistons, the NBA, and the Locked On Pistons podcast. We got a contest that you should go back and listen to last Fridays with Brian to find out how you can win. A very cool prize that we're excited to hand off as well. And go ahead and look for those clues, draft profiles throughout the last several weeks as well. But here are the three ways that Troy Weaver can screw up draft night. This is my opinion, a little bit of a hot take. The number one way that Troy Weaver could screw up draft night is by trading up. Any trade up that Troy Weaver makes, as my alarm goes off here, any trade up that Troy Weaver makes from number seven and gives up any kind of assets to move up is a bad one. Or like a 2-for-7 where you take on Andrew Wiggins, something like that. That's also a loss. Any circumstance where the Pistons trade up is an L for Troy Weaver on draft night. This is not a class you should be trading up for. There are no players that you should trade up for. And that is what I have to say about that. Number two way that Troy Weaver could screw up is coming away from this draft with Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin is going to be a fine NBA player. He might be the rookie of the year next season. I don't think he belongs in this Pistons organization, if only because it's just like a marginally an above-average talented offensive player that doesn't have the requisite defensive skills. You're adding him to a front court with Blake Griffin and Sekou Doumbouya and Christian Wood, guys that we like. We like all those guys, but they're not defensive stoppers. We got to instill some culture into this organization. And Obi Toppin, very good player, probably going to be a solid pro, but he's just not the guy that this team needs. The culture shift, the new, bringing in Troy Weaver, the reckoning for the calling for the old days. And I know I sound like old guy talking about the bad boys and the going to work era all the time, but guess what? That was the formula that won here with the Detroit Pistons and in Detroit. So all these other things that have happened for the past 12 years or so, it's been a complete zero. So let's go back to the formula we know, the formula we love as fans, as a region, as a state, as a fan base, etc., etc. The number one way, and this is my hot take that many of you might not agree with and might not like, even if he falls to number seven, Troy Weaver takes an L on draft night if he drafts LaMelo Ball. That's right. No LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball is an L. I don't care if it's at number seven. I've made the decision he's not going to be in my top seven for the big board 5.0 or 6.0. Now, subject to change. Your boy changes his mind sometimes. But any draft night that comes away with LaMelo Ball in any way, shape, or form is an L. He's not going to be a franchise-changing talent. He's going to set back your franchise. And that's just the hill I'm going to die on in this one. And also, of course, the Onyeka Okongwu is going to be a good pro, solid pro for many years. But so those are the three ways that Troy Weaver could screw up on draft night. Any trade up, Obi Toppin or LaMelo Ball. That is the ways that could happen. Of course, there's other scenarios like number seven, taking someone just completely out of the blue, some huge reach. And no, I don't consider a guy like Patrick Williams to be a huge reach. Not in love with that at number seven. Would certainly feel a lot better about that at 12 or 14. If you do a trade down, I'm all about a trade down if that's what they believe. I like Killian Hayes a lot. I like Tyrese Halliburton a lot. I like Onyeka Okongwu a lot. I certainly like Anthony Edwards. If there's a world that exists that he falls to number seven, very, very unlikely. James Wiseman at number seven, I wouldn't mind that. In fact, I'd kind of like it. Kyra Lewis that Brian loves. A lot of the guys out there, even at number seven, not going to kill Troy Weaver for it. Going to trust in the process, trust in his eye for talent. But those are the, and again, I'm putting this out there. I'm putting myself on tape so that my draft reaction podcast, I can't get mad. I can't scream and shout if the Pistons, and I probably won't scream and shout regardless of what happens, unless they trade up. I think if they trade up for like LaMelo Ball, you're probably going to be needing a new podcast host at some point down the line. Maybe contact the FCC or something like that, even though they don't do podcasts quite yet. But so the trade up for LaMelo Ball is like the one way that I get really upset. Obi Toppin or LaMelo Ball falling to them at seven, not too happy. Anything other than that, I can live with it. It makes sense to me, but those are the parameters. So you've been warned, Troy Weaver and Pistons fans. If you want to make your boy Matt mad, that's how to do it. But things that don't make me mad include Brian's Almost Legends series. We got an amazing one, a legend with a great story, a kind of a forgotten story. I mean, and it's way back in the past, so well before my time. And well before, obviously, a lot of the listeners' times as well. But just a Detroit hero of sports that needs to be remembered and probably even talked about more as the years go on. That's Dave DeBuscher, Almost Legend. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about Built Go. It's how I get through my wall, 2:30. I'm one of those 8-to-5ers nowadays. I wake up in the real time in the morning for the job. It sucks. I don't like it. I get the 2:30 feeling like you guys. I'm surprisingly like okay. You get the coffee in the morning, right? I'm surprisingly okay for the first few hours, but I just hit that wall. 12 to 3, I was just not productive times. This is what I reach for, the Built Go. It's the energy gel that you need that has helped my life big time. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Break through your wall. Three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. This is the workout gel, the energy gel. It tastes great, and it's good stuff, and it gets you through the day. How does Built Go work so well? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast-absorbing, so it gets into my system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. They got the beta-alanine, the B3, the honey, the kick of caffeine as well. Collagen promotes the joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health as well. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go!
Yes, sir!
A little twist for the next few weeks on the Pistons Almost Legend series. We have decided to look at some Pistons bona fide legends whose stories, because of time, may not be well known to younger or even not so younger Pistons fans. These are names you see spattered all over the Pistons record books or even whose numbers hang in the rafters of Little Caesars Arena. So today we look at the career of a former Piston player and coach who went on to the Big Apple to also play and become a director of basketball operations and even a commissioner before landing in the Hall of Fame on this episode of Pistons Bonafide Legends.
The man we are honoring tonight, number 22, Dame
DeBuscher. Born and raised right here in the Motor City, DeBuscher attended Austin Catholic Prep School, which had just started their basketball program while DeBuscher attended the school. As a junior for the Friars, DeBuscher was named All-State. His senior year, in only the school's basketball program's third year, the 6'6" forward led them to a Class A state championship, scoring 32 points in the state finals, leading Austin Catholic over Benton Harbor High School. When it was time to pick a college, DeBuscher decided to stay local and play both basketball and baseball for the University of Detroit Mercy Titans and basketball coach Bob Callahan. While at U of D, DeBuscher led them to three postseason tournaments in both basketball, in which he scored over 24 points per game while at the school, and baseball, where he was a standout pitcher. In his time at U of D, the UPI named him a third-team All-American three times, the AP did once, while the Newspaper Enterprise Association named him to the second-team All-American twice. Upon graduating, the Chicago White Sox signed DeBuscher as an unsigned free agent, and while his baseball career was brief, spanning two seasons in the major leagues, he amassed a record of 3-4 for the Pale Hoes over the 1962 and 1963 seasons, spinning a complete game shutout against the Cleveland Indians in his best start ever in 1963. But basketball was where he was destined to star. The NBA was attempting to drum up excitement in the league, and one way they had tried to do that was a special draft exemption that existed from 1949 to 1966. It was called a territorial draft selection, in which a team could forfeit their first-round pick for an amateur player that resided within 50 miles of their home arena. This was thought to get local fans excited by a local star on the team, and some names that were selected with this exemption include Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson, Jerry Lucas, Bill Bradley, and Gale Goodrich. In 1962, the Detroit Pistons exercised this option on the standout DeBuscher. Once with the Pistons, having just moved into Cobo Arena the previous year, DeBuscher showed why they were so excited to add him to the roster, as he was named to the All-Rookie First Team, averaging almost 13 points and 9 rebounds per game. An injury the following year limited him to just 15 games, but the following season, DeBuscher would set a mark that still stands today. The struggling franchise limped to a 2-9 start to start the 64-65 season and needed a change, and parted ways with their coach Charles Wolf and named 24-year-old star player DeBuscher to the role of player coach, making him to this day the youngest coach in NBA history. The team didn't respond very well, and he relinquished that role near the end of the 66-67 season with a career coaching record of 79-143. Although he was still leading the team on the court, making three All-Star teams between 66 and 68. After playing over 6 years in Detroit, averaging over 16 points and 11 rebounds, he was traded to the New York Knicks during the 1968-69 season, where he would continue to star as he would make five more All-Star games for the Knicks and help them win their two most recent championships in 1970 and 1973. DeBuscher retired after the 1973-74 season with over 14,000 points and over 9,500 rebounds. He was a two-time champion, an eight-time All-Star, a six-time All-Defensive Team member, and named to the NBA's 50th anniversary All-Time Team. In March of 1981, the Knicks decided to honor the defensive standout by retiring his number 22. DeBuscher told the crowd at Madison Square Garden how he was feeling about the honor.
"I'm overwhelmed. I am very, very proud. I am very honored. And besides that, I'm overwhelmed. I am here with my family, and it just, to me, is the most exciting night I've had since I retired night here 7 years ago. And I love you people."
After retiring, he joined the New York Nets of the ABA in their front office before being named the league's commissioner for its ninth and final season in 1976, and helped usher in the merger of the ABA and NBA. In the 1980s, he was an assistant coach and director of basketball operations for the Knicks, and was at the front office helm when they selected Patrick Ewing with the number one overall selection in 1985. In 1983, he was enshrined in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, and former teammate Willis Reed describes the type of person that DeBuscher was.
"In my estimation, And everybody who's ever played a game, everyone I've ever talked to say, Dave DeBuscher is a man's man. Now, when you see a little boy at 3 years old drinking beer, you know he's a man. And those are probably one of the tremendous things about Dave. That's the only habit he had that he didn't teach me. He felt like I need to go home and get my rest at night.
DeBuscher passed away at the age of 62 in 2003. But because he was born and raised in Detroit, went to college in Detroit, played for his first professional team and starred in Detroit, and coached in Detroit, and most importantly was instrumental in making the NBA the league it is today, this Hall of Famer is a Pistons Bonafide legend.
Bonafide legends, the new twist on the Almost Legend series from Brother Brian. Yeah, so I passed the Pistons facility quite a bit on my travels here in downtown Detroit on the way to the gym sometimes and around the neighborhood in the new center area up there north of Midtown. And they've got the posts outside the practice facility, the headquarters there. And, you know, guys like Ben Wallace, guys like Isaiah Thomas and Dave Bing, the icons of this franchise. And Dave DeBuscher is right there. And it's a name that I don't think of. We've all heard of Dave DeBuscher, right? If you're a sports fan, and especially if you're more towards my age. But I just, it's a crazy story that he has. You read the bio. Brother Brian goes deep on it there just now for us. A lot of stuff happened in his life and his career. A Detroiter who lifted the Knicks up like he did and played professional baseball, all the things that Brian talked about. I just think it's a remarkable life and certainly well-lived and certainly well-remembered. But as time goes on, as these things happen, it gets pushed back into the recesses of our public minds as these things happen. And it's just nice to think back and remember those times. Dave DeBuscher, only with the Pistons for about 6-plus seasons, but made a huge mark, and what an amazing life and an amazing athlete. Dave DeBuscher, a bona fide Detroit legend. But how about another bona fide Detroit legend? That's right, LaMelo Ball is working out in the D, and will he be a member of the Detroit Pistons? I know that a lot of you folks want that to happen someday, and maybe in 8 days or so, it just might. LaMelo Ball, that's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
A few weeks ago, host Matt Shook asked you listeners to submit your opinions on the top 7 draft prospects for the Pistons. And after a healthy response from you, he compiled those submissions and unveiled the list of 18 players that you voted for in the order in which you guys selected. We have decided to take that list and work our way up and give a more in-depth summary of those prospects. So today we look at the player ranked number 2 on that list, LaMelo Ball, a 19-year-old, 6'7", 180-pound point guard. Born in Chino Hills, California, Ball's path to the NBA has been well documented, and he and his family have been in the national spotlight for years, in large part because of their basketball ability, and in possibly larger part because of the outspoken nature of his father, LeVar Ball. While in middle school, LaMelo joined the AAU team Big Ballers VXT with his brothers Lonzo and LiAngelo. The team was created by his father and was not sponsored by a shoe company and only competed in local competitions. LaMelo attended Chino Hills High School and, as a freshman, still teamed with his older brothers and fellow 2020 NBA draft prospect Onyeka Okongwu. He averaged over 16 points and over 4 assists per game en route to winning both the California Interscholastic Federation Southern Section Open Division title and CIF Open Division State Championship with a perfect 35-0 record. He was named the Max Preps Co-National Freshman of the Year with teammate Okongwu. LaMelo's sophomore season saw him explode on the stat sheet, averaging over 26 points and almost 10 assists per game, once scoring 92 points in a single game that season. He was named to the Max Preps Sophomore All-American First Team. Following that season, motivated by a coaching change that his father disagreed with, LaMelo was taken out of high school to be homeschooled, and then went overseas with his brother LiAngelo to play professionally for Preinu in the Lithuanian Basketball League. Reportedly the youngest American to ever sign a professional basketball contract at the age of 16, his father LeVar describes how he and his kids decided to play basketball in Eastern Europe.
Man, they living the dream, Michael. I told them, pack up your things. We moving up. I'm taking you out of this dump called Los Angeles, and we going to Prenu Vatatis, where the forecast is always a crisp negative 2 degrees Celsius and 100% chance of freezing rain. Never dry. Never dry.
Of course, that wasn't his father, LeVar, but Kenan Thompson doing a parody of LeVar on the long-running sketch comedy show Saturday Night Live on NBC. After the season, because of disagreements with the club over his son's playing time, LeVar took his sons back to the U.S. to continue their basketball careers. He signed with the Los Angeles Ballers of the Junior Basketball Association, a league that his father created as an alternative to college and the NBA's G League. In 8 games that year, Ball averaged, get ready for these numbers, over 39 points, 14 rebounds, and 11 assists on his way to winning the league championship in 2018. He was named an All-Star and to the league's select team. Upon completion of an overseas tour, Ball decided to go back to school for his senior year. LaMelo ended up in Geneva, Ohio, playing at the Spire Institute and Academy, a prep school, for his senior year for coach Jermaine Jackson, a Detroit Finney and University of Detroit standout and former Piston. He was named the team MVP that year and averaged over 20 points a game, and although a 5-star recruit, he was ruled ineligible for postseason games like the Jordan Brand Classic due to him playing professionally. Ball had verbally committed to his dream school UCLA when he was just 13 years old, but having signed a shoe contract with Big Baller Brand, his family's athletic apparel and shoe company, his eligibility was called into question, and he decided again to go overseas and play for the Australian-based National Basketball League for the Illawarra Hawks. Accompanying Ball to Australia was his Spire head coach, Jackson, who became his manager and helped Ball acclimate himself to the new culture and the life of a professional basketball player. Playing only 12 games in the NBL, he averaged over 17 points, 7 rebounds, and almost 7 assists per game, which was good enough to garner Ball Rookie of the Year honors. LaMelo told Swish how he thought the experiences playing overseas helped his game.
Honestly, I feel like that helps a lot, and I feel like that's how I am now with, like, any team that picks me, I'm good, because just being over there, it's just a whole different world, you know? Something you got to see. And then even with Lithuania, been through that too, so it's just a whole lot of stuff I've been through to make me who I am today.
While the hype and expectations for this kid are otherworldly, make no mistake that it is because no matter the circus going on around him, Ball has always answered the bell with a very high level of play. His court vision and playmaking are off the charts good, as he uses a high basketball IQ and his size to see over smaller defenders. His creativity, while sometimes described as flashy, can also certainly be described as very effective. He is a very mature ball handler, as his experience in other countries' professional leagues have exposed him to playing with and against more experienced players. His rapid improvement and growth show an aptitude to soak up knowledge and learn quickly from experience and coaching. On the offensive end, if a teammate can get open, Ball will usually find them, and he complements that with a great feel for the game and ability to get to and finish at the rim. He has a natural scoring ability and a quick release on his shot, which makes it tough to contest, and is steadily improving his catch-and-shoot ability. He has a great handle and can get to just about anywhere on the court he wants to, seemingly with ease. And with Ball's ability to play the pick-and-roll game that is so prevalent in today's NBA, he should have no trouble becoming a dangerous scorer or distributor in those situations. Although on the offensive end, while he has shown flashes and ability to make tough shots, it's largely because he often chooses to take tough shots. To say his shot selection is suspect would be a gross understatement. And the shooting motion is very unorthodox. He brings it up and releases it at a much lower point than he could, which negates his size advantage and ability to shoot over players. On the defensive end, Ball is very much a work in progress. Besides the typical need to add strength to fight through screens and play through contact, he seems to get lost or even disinterested if he isn't isn't on the ball defending, inexplicably wandering around and getting not only in bad position, almost no position. His effort and motor have always been questioned, and hopefully with coaching and maturity, that will be a habit he breaks, and breaks quickly. With recent reports of him training here in Detroit with brother LiAngelo and manager Jermaine Jackson, the LaMelo to Detroit rumor mill has been heating up, with his father LeVar once again pouring gasoline on that fire. The Pistons reportedly have interest in moving up to get the much ballyhooed point guard. But because of his lapses on the defensive end and his tendency to sometimes seem disinterested, I just don't see the value in giving up assets for him, when there are several other point guards out there that may be better than him one day. But he is a big name and will bring instant notoriety to the team, which may be something that Troy Weaver and his front office are looking for. I just don't see that Piston DNA that we've heard Weaver is desirous of. Some interesting NBA comps I have seen are, first, the obvious, his brother Lonzo Ball, and also Jamal Crawford. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us on the next installment, when we will look at guard Anthony Edwards.
I'm doing incredible. Look at me, man. I wear a size 77 shoe. I got 200 teeth. 80-80 vision. And I was just named the official soft drink of the 23rd Winter Olympiad. Never lost. Never lost.
A unique talent with a unique backstory. And that's just Brother Brian I'm talking about. But LaMelo Ball, it would be a circus. It would be a story. That's for sure. So I'm sure I would talk myself into it after a while and enjoy the ride that would be the Ball family coming to Detroit to resurrect your Detroit Pistons. But thanks again, huge thanks to Brother Brian for coming through, as he always does, for the Tuesday show. Hey, looking forward to we're planning on doing episodes every day this week. It is draft time. Looking at probably 6 episodes next week. We'll do an instant reaction. Of course, we'll have Brian's draft profile of the number one pick chambered up. I've already made my prediction that the Pistons are going to end up somehow, some way, with at least one first-round pick, and more than that as well. I think that they'll end up with 2 or more first-round draft picks, and we'll see how it all shakes out. I'm excited, and I hope you guys are too. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Got the draft special coming up soon. Check that one out. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.